Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest Soapbox edition of the Risky Business Podcast. My name's Patrick Gray. The Soapbox podcast series is a wholly sponsored podcast series we do here at risky.biz. Vendors pay to participate. We'll have run about 10 of these in 2018 by the end of the year. And this Soapbox edition is brought to you by Trend Micro. And in this podcast, we're speaking with Dustin Childs, who works for the Zero Day Initiative, or ZDI. ZDI is, of course, the entity responsible for the Pwn2Own competition. But not just that. They've been buying bugs since well before it was cool, let's put it that way. Sort of like a bug bounty program before bug bounties. And they buy everything from bugs in enterprise software to Linux bugs. Whatever. You find it, they'll buy it. Trend Micro actually owns the ZDI, and there's a story right there in how that came to pass that you'll hear about in a minute. But you know what? Trend seems to be really behind the program. The original idea behind ZDI, when it was a tipping point thing, was so that they could write IDS signatures for vulnerabilities that ZDI unearthed. Now, we know today that spinning up signatures for bugs you're paying for isn't really a winning strategy for picking up zero-day attempts against your computers. So the question becomes, what do you do with a program like ZDI when you're Trend Micro? And as it turns out, there are two things you do with it. There's the marketing side. I mean, it's golden marketing. But there's also a constant stream of exploit submissions that do come in quite handy when you're making endpoint security software. So in this podcast, we'll also be hearing from Eric Skinner. He's Trend's VP of Solution Marketing. And Trend is pushing a major release of its endpoint security software. And he's along to spruik that in a little bit, as well as chiming in on some of the ZDI stuff. So I started off this podcast by talking with Dustin Childs of ZDI about ZDI. And we started off by recapping the history of that program. Here he is.
So ZDI, the Zero Day Initiative, was started really to enhance the internal research that was done by Tipping Point, which at that time was not owned by 3Com yet. They would be purchased there shortly thereafter. So it was really formed for two things. We wanted to enhance our own research that we were doing, and then we wanted to make it easy for researchers around the world to disclose their research and get financially rewarded for it, as well as recognized if they wanted to be.
Because it's funny, right? Because it's almost like bug bounties before bounties, but not really, right? But it was very much a rewards for bugs model.
Yes, it was a very similar sort of thinking. And that first year, we only disclosed one bug that in a coordinated manner. And I think that was in a Dell backup system. And then the next year, they went on to, I think, around 60-ish or so bugs the entire year. And then in 2007 was where we got involved in the Pwn2Own competition as well at the CANSEC conference in Vancouver. And then from there, it's just kept growing and growing and growing. Till now, we're doing multi-million dollar payouts every year, and we've had over 1,080 disclosures so far this year alone. So it's really grown from a very small thing to where you are the world's largest vendor-agnostic bug bounty program.
But I guess, you know, the difference being that it's not the vendors who create the software who are paying those bounties, it's you.
Right, and that's what makes us vendor-agnostic. And the way we're able to do that is what we do is we take the information that we get from the external research and we use it to make Trend's properties better or to make Tipping Point filters or to put that knowledge of what the research is being done into our products to protect customers. So for us, if we buy a bug, our customers will get a filter for it before it's patched. So they're protected while it's 0 day. And then once it's patched, they're still get that protection for the end day until they're able to roll out the actual patch from the manufacturer.
See, this program was born in that era when we thought, hey, if we go out there and buy as many bugs as we can think of, you know, as many bugs as we can find, we're probably going to get pretty good coverage through IDS signatures, right? I mean, these days we wouldn't consider that a comprehensive strategy by any means.
No, absolutely not. Not today. But yeah, it really was at the very beginning. You know, it's like, well, what motivates a researcher? And it turns out that cash is a motivating factor for a lot of people.
Yeah. Funny that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one thing that we can do now is we can kind of guide research into specific areas by offering big bounties on particular targets to say, hey, maybe look at virtualization software and see what's going on there. And we can find, and we're getting a lot of bugs in virtualization now. That's really interesting, some fascinating research.
I saw, I think it was Joanna Rutkowska talking about how, or it could have been someone else, I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about how, you know, VirtualBox has kind of become a hot target. Are you doing much on that?
Oh, yeah. We're doing quite a bit on that. That was one of the targets that was included in Pwn to Own earlier this year in Vancouver. We've continued to get in some new bugs in VirtualBox from some really good research, too. And if you check our blog, we had a blog a couple weeks ago about a VirtualBox bug, too, and how it worked. And it's really some fascinating research that's going on. But yeah, Oracle is probably one of the top ones right now as far as the virtualization bugs that we're seeing, along with VMware. We're still seeing some VMware submissions too. So it's really great stuff.
Now, we gotta stop here and go, okay, this is a Trend Micro-sponsored podcast. How on earth did ZDI wind up being a part of Trend Micro? Because, you know, ZDI was kind of like the new wild hip thing, you know, and Trend Micro is one of the, you know, established vendors that's been around forever. So, you know, how did those things come to live under the one roof?
Well, much like many other things in the tech world, it was acquisition, acquisition, acquisition. ZDI has always been a part of the Tipping Point IPS, and that was acquired by 3Com. 3Com was eventually acquired by HP along with ArcSight. And I think really HP wanted the ArcSight and didn't do a whole lot with the Tipping Point or the ZDI. Eventually, the Tipping Point division, including the Tipping Point, was sold to Trend Micro. So we kind of came along for the ride through this wild over the last 10 years through the different parent companies that we've had. And fortunately, we've managed to maintain our independence throughout all of it.
Yeah, Dustin, so you've been with ZDI since about 2014. What was it like then transitioning into being, you know, into answering to an AV company? I mean, how did that change the mission, I guess, for ZDI?
You know, for us, thankfully, there wasn't a whole lot of shift. If anything, it was positive because Trend didn't really know a lot about the Zero Day Initiative when we first got there. And the more they've learned about it, the more they like it. So pretty much all they've done is say, keep doing good things and keep giving us budget. So it's been fantastic versus certain other, going to a different company where maybe security wasn't their primary focus.
Whoever could you be talking about after giving us that history? But I guess the interesting thing is, right, like, you know, you've gone from a situation where this was a program that was set up to, you know, to generate IDS signatures, right? And now, you know, that's probably less of a way that people, you know, that's going to be less of a primary function for something like ZDI. So, you know, what is it, you know, how are you actually leveraging this program, or how are you using this program to actually benefit Trend, I guess, becomes the question, right?
Well, there are quite a few ways that we do it. And Trend Research overall looks at how it can enhance its products. So we have a lot of different research happening, and the ZDI is just one of them. So we look at vulnerability intelligence. We look at threat intelligence. So yes, we're buying bug reports, and yes, we're patching bugs. But in doing so, we're also seeing the techniques that people are using. For example, UAFs used to be incredibly popular until Microsoft put in some new mitigations in the Internet Explorer. Now, though, what we're seeing just as a trend is JavaScript bugs and JIT bugs are becoming that new UAF in Edge and in Safari and even in Chrome. So it's really fascinating to see how things shift. What we can do with ZDI and through our other threat research is find these things and then use them to build better products. Directly, you know, we're putting new filters in for specific bugs that we're buying, but we're also putting in filters for techniques wherever possible.
So it's more about getting some insight into technique, right?
Right. I mean, we want to see what's going on. We want to see what the state of the art is. And again, it turns out cache is a big motivator in finding that out. So offering people a way to get their research known, get their research published, and get it fixed and then have them still be able to talk about it gives us some insight into what's actually going on. And then just generating more research, just because when you see one bug, it keys off other researchers like, oh, well, if I can do this, then maybe I can do this other thing. And kind of, so getting those techniques is fantastic for us. And we want to see the techniques and the trends, and that really builds up the threat intelligence that we can then take into the product and say, here's how we can stop this whole class of things.
Look, it really does get your finger on the pulse. You get to drive trends. And I guess, you know, most of this type of research into established common software, you know, a lot of that's gone private for obvious reasons. But one area where that hasn't gone private is I don't know many of these companies that, you know, build you know, bugs in you know, the ones who are finding bugs in iPhones, they're not necessarily looking at bugs in, you know, Hewlett-Packard enterprise software. That seems to have been a focus for ZDI over the last, you know, 5 years. And I'm guessing that's not by accident, right? Is the idea of actually having some sort of kind of centrally funded bug bounty for enterprise software must factor into the thinking for you. Is that right, Dustin?
Well, it does. And certainly we buy bugs in Trend Micro products and we get those fixed. And we've bought bugs in HPE products when we were with HPE. We had an awkward time there where we actually OD'd HPE, which is, if you've never OD'd your parent company, I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Some very interesting phone calls that you get to have.
I can imagine.
But yeah, so it's great that we set up a corporate bug bounty program. But like you said, if we can direct the research as well, it provides us a lot of insight beyond just what we're looking at. And you mentioned the HPE stuff. There's a lot of middleware that we see a lot of research into, but doesn't get a whole lot of attention. So we like to be that bridge where we can find that stuff in the Dell EMCs, the HPs, the Ciscos, that sort of stuff, and buy those and find the techniques that are being used there. Mm. A lot of enterprises have that stuff and then forget about it because it's
all universally awful, right? So it's a target-rich environment, and it's nice to be reminded of that, right? So I can certainly see that that's a really vital function for mm-hmm. ZDI, and I don't think it's really something that, you know, is happening anywhere else. And of course, you know, then you've got Pwn to Own, which, I mean, let's be honest, that is a marketing exercise, but it's, I don't know, maybe that's a bit cynical because you do get to see some really awesome exploitation techniques that you wouldn't actually see unless ZDI was posting such huge rewards. So I don't know what to make of it. You know, the cynic in me says it's marketing and the optimist in me says that it's a really great way to get insight.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, and I don't think it's fair to—I don't think it's unfair to say, you know, there's a bit of security theater going on here because, you know, we do have cameras there, and of course we're producing stuff. But at the same time, I go back to the 10th anniversary, which was actually last year, where we bought 52 bugs in 3 days, and just acquiring 52 bugs in 3 days is amazing. Mm. And we spent $833,000 on it, but to get that level of, you know, research acquired within a 72-hour window, it's astonishing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really like about it is, yes, we're getting bugs that we wouldn't normally see because of the higher prices, but we're getting a lot of them, and it's all really, really good research. I mean, it's not just proof of concept. It's full exploitation, and some of the best bugs that I've seen have come out of those contests. So,
I reckon, it is the stuff that gets dropped at CanSec West in – you know, Pwn to Own. I mean, that's a lot of the best stuff that you're going to see publicly, right? Because people aren't dumping state-of-the-art exploits onto mailing lists anymore.
No, they really aren't. And of course, I am biased, but I do think it is the very best that you're going to see publicly. And that's kind of, you know, proven by how many talks at conferences after Pwn to Own are about Pwn to Own research, either from the researchers themselves or the people who was like, well, we saw this at Pwn to Own, so we did our own research on it. Things like that. So I do think it's a very, it's an intense week for us because there's a lot of logistics that goes on putting the contest on. But it's a really fun to look back on and go, man, we got some really cool research out of this.
Now, of course, you know, you've got two ends of the spectrum here. You've got, you know, iPhone 0 days basically, or, you know, fully patched Nexus, you know, or Pixel, you know, Android bugs. Mm-hmm. And that's your big headline stuff. But I'm wondering, as a proportion of the bugs that you actually handle, do most of them fall into that sort of middleware category?
Yes, they do. Well, there's a lot of different categories that fall into. Right now, one of the things that we're seeing the most of is actually bugs in SCADA systems. So we're seeing a lot of bugs in that. I think we're about the only ones who are really focused on that, certainly from a bounty perspective. We work a lot with ICS Cert to get those resolved. The middleware stuff is definitely a big area. And, you know, the mobile stuff we don't see as much. Pwn to Own Tokyo is coming up here in November. We've introduced an IoT category. So we'll see what happens with that because there's so many questions around IoT and IoT security, and yet we keep buying them without answering any of those questions. So it'll be great to see what that goes.
That's going to be shooting fish in a barrel, man. Like, you know, that's going to come down to who has the coolest demo, I think, is who should win that one. Who can most artfully and hilariously exploit the IoT things? This is
and it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. The Apple Watch will be there. The Amazon Echo and Google Home will be there. And then we've got a couple cameras, one from Amazon and one from Nest. Okay.
So that's what you mean by IoT, right? So they're like the more established, you know, perhaps more sophisticated devices. That is interesting. Yes. So, you know, you recently just OODA'd Microsoft, didn't you?
Yes, we did, just last Thursday.
And what was that bug? Was it serious?
It is serious. It would be critical rated from Microsoft. And it's a remote code execution vulnerability in the Microsoft Windows Jet database engine. So it is definitely something that should be taken seriously by enterprises because it affects – we tested it on Windows 7 fully patched, and based on the bug, we think it affects all supported version of Windows.
Now, look, you know, we've mentioned a couple of times, I guess, that, you know, the output of ZDI is used to sort of guide R&D at Trend. Can you give us a couple of concrete examples where, you know, that – offensive research has been used to guide a specific change in a product? You know, beyond spinning up signatures, like what are some structural changes or some generic changes that you've made to the product because of ZDI research? You know, you've seen a particular type of research and you've realized, okay, we're going to have to engineer this type of solution to this type of offensive research that we're seeing more and more of. Like that's kind of what I'm trying to draw out here, you know?
Beyond just the signatures, Eric, do you want to give some more specific examples of this?
Yeah. So for sure, there are the simple things that happen as a result. And Dustin's referenced, for example, IDS-IPS signatures, the kinds of virtual patching rule protections that we're able to put into our server and endpoint products. So we're able to detect an exploit based on its network signature. But it does definitely go beyond that. While 20 years ago, there was a heavy emphasis on file hashes and AV signatures, the vast majority of the research effort and engineering effort over the last 10 years has been much more around behavioral detections, machine learning engines, all these kinds of things. So what the output from ZDI and other parts of the research team is doing is helping those teams tune the way that the behavioral detection spots things, the way that it can be more effective, the way that we start to look at in-memory attacks related to fileless malware, for example, as opposed to just spitting out another signature.
But like fileless malware is usually not something that, you know, requires an exploit that would be of a type that would be submitted to ZDI, right?
No, in the case of fileless, we're benefiting from a research team that is doing a fair bit of threat hunting. We're benefiting from our managed detection and response service that is picking up early indicators and a lot of forward-looking research with respect to the techniques that are going to influence the in-memory detections. The ZDI stuff gives us a window into the way people are exploiting systems, and it's not always resulting in things that are IDS, IPS related.
So Dustin, look, you know, we've spoken a little bit about, you know, where ZDI has come from and where, you know, and where it's at now. Where's it going though? Like what are the priorities for ZDI? Is it more just, you know, full steam ahead, steady course, or have you got some new stuff coming up?
Well, we have new stuff coming up with the Pwnda Own Tokyo, of course, with the new IoT. But one of the new things that we're trying to do is we have a targeted incentive program. So what we're doing is taking a look at some of the biggest targets that are out there and offering time-bound special rewards specifically for those targets. So I think one of the downsides to Pwnda Own is you actually have to go to some place and you only have a couple days. With this, it's for, again, our global audience, and you've got months to work on it. So right now we've got six targets, I think, ranging from $25,000 awards up to $250,000 for specific targets like Apache and Hyper-V and WordPress. These are the big things that we want. And when one drops off, we've already got other ones to come on. So essentially the first person who gives us a full exploit in this wins that category, and then we bring in a new category. Just one of the things as we move forward is how we can be more directive in the research that we get. So that we're not just getting bugs for that are low-hanging fruit. We want to get the more serious bugs too. And of course, we're expanding our own research internally. I don't think a lot of folks realize that we've got some of the best researchers in the world who are working for us. because we have to reproduce everything that we purchase. So they have to be able to do it themselves. And just getting them more time so that they can do their own research as well. Some fantastic work's being done by some of our people, Abdul Hariri, Jaisal Spellman, and Simon Zuckerbrand especially, have just done some fantastic work in the areas of JavaScript and Adobe and Apple. They're a little frightening, but thankfully they're all good people, so I like them.
I'm curious too, given your roots as a, you know, as a company that has paid for bugs, you know, now bug bounties have become a thing. Has it ever occurred to the ZDI team that maybe they could start raising money from software companies and, you know, soliciting bugs on their behalf, sort of like a bug bounty program, but more for software, you know, is that as opposed to web properties and things? I know, you know, the bug bounty platforms do both, but it seems like ZDI is the one with the track record in that, you know, in that sub niche, I guess. Has that ever been tempting?
Bug bounty as a service does sound a little bit tempting, but it's not a discussion that we've had. Quite frankly, we're staffed at a level right now where we don't have a lot of extra time to help others yet, but we're hoping to increase to get to that point. But no, bug bounty as a service is an interesting concept. And, you know, HackerOne and BugCrowd have their platforms that they use. But I think there's a value to being completely independent from the vendors. It allows us to maintain...
Well, it allows you to be critical, right? Like, it allows you to go full disclosure on Microsoft, which is something you've just done.
Yes, or Adobe or Apple or anyone else that we purchase bugs for, including Trend Micro, if that were to arise. But we haven't had to do that on Trend yet.
It's funny, actually, you know, it was ZDI that announced the return of a very popular Australian researcher who was actually on the show last week, Silvio Cesare, who left the industry for a few years way back in the day. And the reason that we knew that he decided to re-enter the industry is because ZDI wound up buying a whole bunch of his Linux kernel bugs. And we're like, oh, Silvio's back.
Well, that's great. And that Linux kernel is an area where we want to see more bugs in open source products as well. So that's fantastic that he came back, and fantastic that he came back to us too.
So we're going to switch it up a little bit now. We're going to talk to Eric Skinner, who's more on the actual, you know, trend side of Trend. And look, one of the reasons we're doing this activity is because, Eric, you're launching the next, you know, full release of Trend's flagship product, you know, the endpoint software. To what extent is this an overhaul of your endpoint software? Is this a complete ground up rebuild, an iteration? Like, what can you tell us?
Well, there's some fairly substantial changes, and one of the major areas from an overhaul perspective is that we're bringing things that have traditionally been separate endpoint agents together into one package. And we didn't just tie a bunch of tape around the outside of the existing agents. There's been a fairly lengthy effort to merge these things in a resource efficient way, and in a way that makes sure that these components are playing really well together. So that would be the core endpoint threat detection engines. That would be the virtual patching capabilities, which benefit from some of the things we've been talking about with ZDI, the application whitelisting capabilities, and our EDR capabilities. So not only are all of those things upgraded, but we've pulled them together in one package because increasingly we were hearing from customers that they wanted an easier way to roll things out. They wanted it to be one package. They wanted it to be easier to upgrade and so on.
This seems like a bit of an industry trend at the moment, because I, you know, one of the other vendors that we hear from here on Risky Biz, you know, they make an even more diverse set of endpoint agents, and they're trying to unify everything into a single agent. It makes so much sense because it's what customers want, and it makes cross-selling easier for vendors, right? So I think we're going to see more of this.
Yeah, I think that everyone is at some stage along this path. Some people are a little bit further. Some people are definitely behind. It does create a bunch of opportunities for vendors to offer an expanded set of functionality, to help customers not have to deploy multiple agents that increasingly are likely to fight, because all the EDR guys are adding endpoint detection capabilities. The more longstanding vendors are adding EDR capabilities. And so there's more and more functionality that is likely to overlap with the other vendor's capability. So We want to see less fighting, less overlap in terms of the functionality. But one of the interesting things that it sets up is a potential for different parts of the organization in security, which is something they're not used to. We've seen security teams who were off buying their own EDR tools and IT ops teams who were running endpoint platforms. And there's a little bit of a collision going on there, which I think is more than just a technology change. It's a people change as well.
So this is really what this release is about, taking these different things that you've been doing, in an endpoint security sense and marrying them up so that the integrations are just better. And I'm guessing your hope is that your clients will no longer require another company's EDR. Is that really the strategy here?
That is one of the two key things. So for sure, we want to show our customers that the vast majority of the time, whatever EDR they want is going to be completely possible with the package that they have available to them from Trend. And at the same time, they'll also be able to supplement that with a managed detection and response service, because there's a lot of mid-size organizations, even large organizations, that want to help with EDR. They want to do it. It's cool. It's useful, but they may not be staffed for it. So the managed detection and response service helps there. So
Are you doing that through MSSPs, or are you doing it yourself?
Right now, we are actually doing it ourselves, although the intention is that as the back-end MDR platform tool set that the SOC operators use inside Trend, as that tool set becomes a little bit more mature, we expect to start offering that to service partners in 2019. And then we would gradually pull away from offering it ourselves. It's not our intention to be a service provider over the long haul and compete with those channel partners and MSSPs.
Now, of course, any company in your position, when they're pushing a new release, it's a nice time to sort of overhaul the way your software is doing things. And of course, you're going to overhaul it to best cater for people in the current environment, the current threat environment, if you want to say it like that. So, what is your take on what's happening out there, and what are the steps that you've taken to address it in your way?
Well, there's two major things that are on people's minds lately. One has become a little bit less sexy in terms of marketing hype, but ransomware is still on people's minds. We're seeing roughly flat detections of ransomware year over year. And a slowdown in terms of the number of new families, but it's still out there. It requires aggressive attempts at detection, both pre-execution and runtime. And then something that's on the rise, certainly both statistically, but also in terms of marketing FUD, is the fileless malware. So we've seen it probably more in FUD than in reality. The raw numbers are relatively small when you think about the volume of detections we get, but we saw about 38,000 detections of fileless malware in June, and that's up substantially from even the beginning of the year. But we're viewing that as a risky enough area of potential compromise and potential attack against the customers that we've been investing pretty heavily in that area. So how both of those manifest themselves in the new release is we have substantially expanded runtime detection functionality around the behavioral engine and around in-memory detection. So the behavioral engine has been there for close to 10 years now and has been doing an amazing job on ransomware, but we've expanded it to look at additional behaviors related to some of the scripts, some of the PowerShell behavior, for example, memory injection attempts. And we've also been doing more memory inspection recently, looking for scripts that are getting dropped in memory, scripts that have just started executing.
Scripts that have come out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, because the machine learning techniques that we've been leveraging for over 2 years now, generally speaking, are not as strong against these scripts, because the scripts themselves are quite small. And
There's not enough entropy. I mean, there's not enough information in them, really, right? They don't have enough as many attributes as something like a binary executable.
Yeah. So, you know, for a long time, we have not been able to be a one-trick pony. You know, we stopped being signatures only probably about 20 years ago. And the range of techniques that we're deploying now is quite substantial. I would say it's absolutely toe-to-toe with any of the individual vendors' techniques, and probably in some is a broader scope than you're going to get from most people. And we're absolutely on the cutting edge of some of these latest threats.
Well, Eric Skinner and Dustin Childs, thank you very much for joining us on The Soapbox to talk about, ZDI, what's going on with ZDI these days, and also to have a bit of a chat about Trend's latest, big version push. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks very much.
That was Dustin Childs and Eric Skinner there of Trend Micro. Big thanks to them for participating in our Soapbox series. And that is it for this Soapbox edition of the Risky Business Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back in a couple of days with our news edition. But until then, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.